All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Shared to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Haba Alinu Latov, Avram and Shendi Kalman, for dedicating all of Shemun Drashos this month in memory of Rafael Yechiel Ben Avram, Zichrono Libracho. A week of learning sponsors, an anonymous sponsorship for Refu Shlema for Eliezer Ben Elisheva. Our week of learning sponsors, Jeff and Karen Cohn, in creation of the 16th yard site of Karen's father, Mr. Maya Axman, Zichrono Libracho, and wishing a Mazel Tov to their grandchildren, Rina and Yisrael Katz, on their recent marriage. Our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg and the Schuss, continued health for Shlamas Chana Basushan for an ultimate refuah shlem. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Savan Aliyah, the families in the Chama, all those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shalem Meretz Hashem. Continue to look after our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael and allow our holy soldiers to be successful. B'chol Masei Yedehem. With that, let us begin. Today's Daf is Yud Ches 18. We are picking up on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and I believe we left off with Ben Ma'arava, right? Look right, Ben Ma'arava. So we'll say, in the wide lines, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines in. Ben Ma'arava, Bat Kila B'Shimsha. So we'll say, remember again, we're talking about the concept of checking a knife and how we check a knife to make sure that it is free from pigimos, from any type of nicks. Because halacha l'maisa, again, what we've seen is that the moment that a knife has a nick, it compromises the integrity of the shechita. Why? Because halacha l'maisa, with the presence of a nick, we run the risk of a tear. The risk of a tear, and therefore, again, tearing obviously is one of the invalidating things in the shechita. So, ma'arava, batkila b'shimsha. This is very interesting. In Eretz, the way they would check a knife was with the sun. So specifically, what they would do is like this. Well, this is so fascinating. They would hold the knife up to the sun, and they would see the shadow that the knife would cast. And on the shadow, you could see again, is the blade straight or is there some type of nick in the blade? Fascinating. But in Nardo, what they would do is they would go ahead and like skim the top of the water with the knife. If the knife would make like one uniform ripple, then that would indicate that there was no pigima. If it would make like a ripple within the ripple, then that would indicate that there was a nick. Fascinating. Rav Sheshes Badakle Balishna, Bresh Lishna. Rav Sheshes would test it against the tip of his tongue. Now again, I will say what that means is like this. If you run like the side, like not straight down, but a little bit tilted so that the sharp part is not, if there's no nick, it actually will not cut your tongue. If there is a nick, it will catch you. It will cut your tongue. It's a little bit of a risky way to check the knife, but all right, it's good. So that's how Rav Sheshes did it. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Badek la b'chut ha-saira. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov would go ahead and cut it again. Go ahead and run it against the hair. Same idea. If the blade was smooth and you're holding the blade a little bit sideways, so ultimately again, the hair would not be cut. If there's a nick, then ultimately the hair is going to get cut in the neck. Surah Amri, Bisra Akhla, Bisra Labatka. In Surah they said, look, a knife goes ahead and cuts through flesh, therefore a knife has to be tested with flesh. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Bisra Akhli, it's in the wide lines of Rashi, about 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in. Bisra Akhla, Hi Ba Lach Toch Basar. So remember again, the knife itself is coming to cut meat. Lefichach, Ikar b'dikasa b'basar. So too, again, you have to check it against flesh. O b'resh lishna, o b'basar atzmo, in basar zepoge b'begam, ki yifka b'basar asimin avav adavar acher, lahavya b'dika. So this is very interesting. So this is quoting over here that since the knife cuts against flesh, you have to test it on flesh. Now again, what does that mean? It could be against your tongue, it could be against your finger, but the idea is it has to be tested against flesh. Okay, Amra Papa, Tzricha Badika Abisra Va'aturfa Va'aklasa Ruchasa. Rav Papa said, you have to check the knife literally again. Abisra means against flesh. Turfa means a fingernail. You have to test it against the nail, which we'll say same thing. You run the blade against the nail. If there's no nick, it'll run smoothly. If there is a nick, it'll get caught on the nail. And you have to check all three sides of the knife. So Amrle Ravina Ravashi, Amrle Rav Sama Berei Dram Misharshim Mishmecha, Da Amrtan Mishmei Drava, Tzvicha Bedika Abisra, Va'aturfa Va'atlasa Ruchasa. So they said over They said over to, so Ravina said to Rav Ashi, they said over to us in your name that when you check a knife, you have to check it again against flesh. Torfa means against your fingernail, and on three sides. So I'll say, so three sides means the blade and the two sides of the knife. You have to check to make sure that there's no nicks on any of those three areas. Amrlei, Abisra ba Torfa Amri. He said, listen, I did say that you have to check the knife against flesh and against the fingernail. But I never said you have to check the blade on all three sides. Why not? Okay, so we're sitting in front of Ravashi. They brought a knife in front of Ravashi to check it, because most remember again, as we've seen, it was covered to the Talmud Chacham. It was covered to the local scholar to bring him the knife to check. Amar Leib Rav Acha, Brei Durava. So he said to Rav Acha, Brei Durava, Bitka, Bitka. So he said, now, interestingly enough, so ultimately, again, they brought it before Rav Ashi. But Rav Ashi said to Rav Acha, you check the knife. And he told him what? And he told him, Bitka. But Rav Ashi went, excuse me, Rav Ashi, they brought it before Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi said to Rav Acha, you check the knife. So Rav Acha checked the knife. Batka atorfa va'abisra va'atlasa ruchasa. So he checked it again against his flesh, against his fingernail, and on three sides. Amar le Yashar said to him, shkayach v'chid amar Rav Kana. This is what Rav Kana said to do as well. V'chi v'Rav Yemar amar atorfa va'abisra tzricha atlasa ruchasa lo tzricha. Rav Yemar said, you do have to check the knife against your flesh, against your nail, but you don't have to check all three sides of the blade. Now, essentially what it means is like this. You have to check the blade part. You need not check the sides of the knife. Why not? Milo Amra Vizir Amra Shmuel Li Bein Sakin V'Shakit Ba Shkita Asuk Shira. So remember we had this case. If you heat up a knife, and you shecht with that knife, then what's the halacha? The shchita's kshera. Now again, Abosai, if you have a superheated knife, what do we have to be concerned about? What are we concerned about? That ultimately the knife is going to burn through the simanim as opposed to cut the simanim. We had this case. So yet the halacha is that the knife is kosher and fit for use. What's the reason for that? Shechiduda kodem lelibuna. Because ultimately, again, we assume that the sharpness of the blade precedes really any type of heat. So the Gemara says, now remember again, what vakashilan? Ha ikat studim. But one second. That's true for the actual blade itself, right? The blade itself cuts before it heats. What about the sides of the knife? Right? The sides of the knife, the pashas would burn away the base hashchita. Vaminon, base hashchita mervach ravach. Now we say that's not the way it works. When you shecht an animal, by definition of also, when you cut by the throat of the animal, the throat opens up, which essentially means that the sides of the knife are never really coming in contact with the Beis HaShchita, right? They're never really coming in. So because they're not coming in contact, therefore there's no problem with heat. Hachanami, Beis HaShchita, Mervach Ravach. So too over here, so we'll say, it's very interesting. So the same way that by heat, you don't have to worry about the sides of the blade heating, being hot, and burning the Beis HaShchita. Because we'll say, and if you ever see, right, if you ever see any of the videos, right, any of Shchita, the way it works is like this, the moment you make the cut, so the neck opens up. So by definition, really, the sides of the knife are not really hitting the Beis HaShchita all that much. So therefore, again, in a case where you superheated the knife, so we're not worried either. We're not worried because, number one, the sharpness of the blade impacts the Beis HaShchita before the heat, and the sides of the knife are not really coming in contact with the neck of the animal either. So too, when checking for nicks, right, we're really only worried about the blade. We're not worried about the sides. Incredible. Amrav Huna, Barav Katina, Amrav Shira. Say last three lines on Yezayin Bay 17b. Amrav Huna, Barav Katina, Amrav Shira Ben Lakish. Shalosh Pegimos Hain. There are three different nicks, three different Pegimos. Pegimas Etzem BePesach, Pegimas Ozen BeBachar, and Pegimas Mum BeKachin. Three different types of nicks. And what are the three different types of nicks? There is Pegimas Etzem BePesach. It's actually very interesting. The halacha by Korban Pesach is that you're not allowed to break a bone. Right, it's actually interesting. When you eat the carbon pesach, it's an interesting halacha. So again, sometimes a person is eating meat, they break the bone, they want the marrow, right? They want the juices. By carbon pesach, you are not allowed to break a bone. Now, by the way, the Sefer HaChinuch brings down, why can't you break a bone? This is very interesting. Why can't you break a bone? You can't break a bone because the whole avodah of pesach is to be like malachim, to be like kings. Kings don't break bones. Right, kings, when they get into their food, they eat with dignity. Right, there's no need for them to break a bone because they have plenty to eat. So too, on Pesach night, we don't break bones. Same idea. So now, interestingly enough, the Gemara says over here that halacha lemaisa, not only is breaking a bone problematic, but also making a nick in the bones is problematic. Right, so any nick you make in the bones is problematic. So the Gemara says, Etzim Pesach, Pigimas Ozim B'Bachar. So remember again, firstborn animal, you give to the Kohen. The Kohen goes ahead and offers that up as a carbon. However, if there is a mum, if there's a blemish in the animal, the Kohen gets to keep it. An example, ultimately again, of a blemish that would allow the Kohen to keep it would be even like a nick in the ear of the animal. Okay? And Pigimas Mum B'Kachim. And in general, ultimately, again, if you have some type of nick in the animal, that could be a disqualifying blemish for karbanos in general. Says the Gemara, Rav Chista says, Af pegimas sakin. Rav Chista says, even a nick in the knife. So why doesn't the first opinion mention anything about the nick in the knife? That's our discussion over here. V'idach b'chulun lo kamayri. The first opinion will say we're not talking about chulun. Right, we're not talking about anything mundane. Rather, we're only talking about sacrificial or consecrated items. Okay, and I will say the kulan is actually very interesting. The kulan pigimas. So in general, what is the shear for a pigima? Right, what is the shear for a nick? Which is an interesting idea. What is the shear? So the Gemara says the kulan pigimasan kedei pigimas hamizbeach. All of them, the shear for a nick is the nick of a mizbeach. So we'll say it's actually a very interesting halacha. So if the mizbeach, right, if the altar is nicked, ultimately it becomes, you can't use it. The Gemara says, top of Yudches 18a, the kama pegimas hamizbeach. So how much, right, well, how much of a nick ultimately, again, will disqualify the mizbeach? It's very interesting. Kedei shetach garbo tziporen, enough that if you run your finger over it, your finger will get caught in a nick in the mizbeach. So we'll say, isn't that fascinating? So halacha lemaisa, that's the shear. That's the shear ultimately, which is tiny, right? Which is tiny. So in other words, if the mizbeach gets nicked in any way, even enough that you're running your finger over it, and your finger just gets caught in the nick, the mizbeach is disqualified. That same shear, ultimately, again, for mizbeach, is the same shear that we find by these other cases of nicks, right? By the bone of the carbon pesach, by the ear of the bechor, and in general a carbon. So we'll say quite fascinating. Which I will say, by the way, if you think about it, is really quite dramatic. That if you think about this, the mizbeach was a heavily used utensil. So the idea, like, it would be normal to get nicks, right? I will say, you know, again, please stay focused. Yeah, I want to finish with that. So it would be normal to get nicks, right? So, but yet you see that the closer you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less room there is for imperfection. That's the way that it works. That's why, again, the holier the individual is, the higher standard you are held to. We always speak about this. Moshe Rabbeinu made how many mistakes in his life? How many mistakes? One. And yet the Torah speaks about it over and over and over. And because of that one mistake, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was deprived of what he wanted most. Again, most of us commit more mistakes than Moshe Rabbeinu between the time that we make up and get to shear, right? But again, he's Moshe Rabbeinu. And the holier you are, the closer you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the higher the level that you are held to. So this is the idea of the Mizbeach. I will say something, the Mizbeach is the utensil that is used for service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, day in and day out. It can't have a nick. It can't have a nick. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Basically, Gemara is a kasha. It's actually quite interesting. Kama pegimas hamizbeach. By the way, how much of a nick disqualifies the mizbeach? The Gemara says, Rabbi Shem ben Yochai, Omer, Tefach, Rashbi. Rashbi says a Tefach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Kizayis, size of the Kizayis. Rabbi says, we have a contradiction. We just said before that any size at Nick disqualifies the Mizbeach. Here, these opinions are saying a Tefach or a Kizayis, to which the Gemara says, no, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Habesida, Habavna. One is talking about the lime, and one is talking about the stone. So both said, this is very important. So remember again, halacha l'maisa, the Mizbeach. Now this is talking about the exterior Mizbeach that was used for animal sacrifice. Not the Mizbeach of Kitores, incense, which was made of gold. The exterior Mizbeach of Israel was made of stone. Mizbeach Avonim Tivnali, right? Tasali. You have to make a Mizbeach Avonim. Now, again, how do you hold stones together? You need some type of lime, some type of plaster that brings everything together. So, this is something very interesting. There's two different shiurim for pegimas, two different shiurim for nicks. On the stones themselves, the shiur for the nick is any amount. Any nick on the stone will disqualify the mizbeach. When it comes to the plaster or the lime, ultimately, again, the shear is going to be machlokis, either a tefach or a kizayis. That's the difference in shiurim. Quite interesting. Amrafuna. Ravuna says as follows, which I will say also is something very beautiful. If you think about it, the metaphor, right? Because man in Chazal is often compared to the Mizbeach as well. If you think about it, there are two parts to the Mizbeach, right? There's the exterior coating, that we'll call it the plaster, the lime, and then there is the inner part, the stones. So I will say, so on the exterior, even if we have a lot more deficiencies, it's okay. It's okay, the Mizbeach could still be kosher, right? Even if you have a nick that's the size of a kizayis, then a nick that's the size, ultimately, again, of a, what was the first year? Of a tefach, that's fine. The ikar is, so sometimes on the external pieces, we could deal with a little bit more inconsistency. We could deal with a little bit more of the nicks of life. As long as the interior stones, the inner stones, my true essence, that really has to be the piece of me that's intact. It could be that I have a lot of work to do, out many of the exterior things. But the inner piece is the piece that I have to make sure is truly intact. That interior piece, that interior part of me, it could have a little bit of a nick here, a nick there, but not too much more. Because that's what invalidates the individual. The chitzonius, okay, we can work on that. But I have to make sure that the panemius, the inner part, is truly intact. Incredible. The Gemara goes vaito. I'm Rafuna. Hai tabcho, dolo sar sakina kam echa. Misham tiyan. So we'll say, it's incredible, incredible Gemara. A butcher. Now, you know, we'll say, remember I mentioned this at the beginning of the Masechta? Generally, it seems to be clear from the Gemara that the person who was the shochet was also the butcher. Was also the butcher, which meant that he would shecht and he would sell. This was his livelihood, right? He would also shecht to other people. But again, this was his livelihood. So watch this. If you have a butcher, which again also means a shochet, and that shochet did not show his knife to the Talmud Chacham of the city, mishamtinale. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we excommunicate him. We excommunicate him, which Rabbi says is a pretty dramatic Gemara. What does this mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, now yeah, Rav Amar Rava says Ma'avina Lei. We go ahead and we remove him. We remove him from his parnas. So we remove him from being a shochet. Umachrazinan abistra de treifahi, and we announce about his meat that it's treif. That it's treif. Rabbi says isn't that overwhelming? So again. Two opinions over here. So again, both dealing with a case of an individual, a shochet, who did not show his knife to the local Talmud Chacham. So Rav Huna says, we go ahead and we put it, we excommunicate him. Rava says, we remove him from his post, and ultimately, again, we announce about him that his meat is treif. So the Gemara says, how do you reconcile this, Machlokes? Because for the pligi, they're not arguing. Kan kishanim say sakino yafa. So we'll say, here are the two cases. There's one case where the shochet didn't show his knife, but when we looked at it afterwards, the knife was totally fine. The knife was kosher. That's what Rav Huna is talking about. So Rav Huna says, in that case, we're going to excommunicate him. However, if he didn't show his knife, we check his knife, and it turns out that his knife is not valid, it has pegimus, it has nicks, right? It's not smooth. Then halacha lemaisa, not only do we go and excommunicate him, but we also remove him from his position, and we announce that his meat is treif. Now take a look at Rashi, Rabbi. So this is really incredible. Rashi says, "Zivin tse sakino yafa mishantin leim." Rabbi said, "Here's what's interesting. If halacha lemaisa, he didn't show his knife to Talmud Chacham, and then we inspect his knife, and it turns out that his knife is totally fine. I understand he didn't do something good." But why go ahead and excommunicate him? What's the pshat? Look at Rashi. We excommunicate him, even though his knife is totally fine. Mishum afkirusa shehichtzif panav. Why do we excommunicate him? Because he's a mechutzav. He has chutzpah. Bosei, can you imagine if we excommunicated because of chutzpah? Right? Can you imagine? We wouldn't get a minion. So listen to this. So we go excommunicate him. Why? This is incredible. Shehichtzif panav kidekai malon minadin al kavod harav. So Bosei, let's talk about this in just a moment. What's the chutzpah? What's the chutzpah? The chutzpah is, he did not respect the Rav of the city. That's the chutzpah. In other words, you're supposed to show your knife to the Rav of the city, and ultimately, again, you didn't do so. So you're going to be a mechutzav, you're going to have chutzpah, we're going to excommunicate you. So we'll say, you think about this, it seems a bit extreme. Right? Doesn't really, remember, I understand the case where it turns out that the knife was not good. Right? Because then we have a real kashrus issue. But okay, I understand the guy didn't show his knife to the Rav of the city. He's mechutzav. It's a little bit of chutzpah. But Bepashto says knife is good. Why impact the shochet? I will say, you can imagine also, you talk about what if he's the only shochet in the city? So I will say, you see from here how respect for leadership is at the cornerstone of society. If there's not a sense of respect, that leads to a fundamental breakdown of everything. And by the way, it's not just of the Talmud Chacham, it's in general. It's respect for parents, it's respect for elders, it's respect for leadership. If there's not, if ultimately, again, if there's chutz, the Gemara says that in the days before Mashiach, there's going to be a breakdown of society. Breakdown of society, and a breakdown that is so profound that only Mashiach could come and heal it. And the Gemara says, what's the symptom of the breakdown of society? Chutzpah yaski. Chutzpah will rule. Chutzpah will rule. It'll be such a defiant generation and such an arrogant generation, and there'll be no respect for anyone or anything. The chutzpah is ultimately, again, what signifies societal breakdown. So we'll say, it's incredible, right? It's so important. And again, we live in this type of society where the goal is always to deconstruct authority. I don't know the sociology behind it, but that's the goal of it. To deconstruct anyone who's on a pedestal, the goal, figure out how to knock it down. A general distrust of authority, a general disdain for authority, that's chutzpah. And the Gemara says, chutzpah, we can't operate chutzpah. It's fascinating, right? I think all of us know this from parenting, right? From parenting, the one thing that you can never tolerate from your children. Your kid does badly on a test, fine, don't worry about it, not the end of the world, right? Kid doesn't clean their room, okay. I will say, just parenting 101, zero tolerance for chutzpah. Chutzpah can never be tolerated towards parents. There's no exception. There's no, okay, kid had a stressful day, kid had this. Chutzpah is the one zero tolerance, because you know what happens to children who are chutzpahdik? Clinical tests have shown that children who are chutzpahdik, listen to this groundbreaking study, become adults who are chutzpahdik. And chutzpahdik adults are the most toxic elements of society. Because where there is chutzpah, fundamental and whole breakdown. So again, I'm not a parenting expert by any stretch of the imagination, barely a novice. But one thing I do know, because I was raised this way as well, zero tolerance to chutzpah. Anything else, but chutzpah, that's where parents have to be unwavering and unmoving in holding the line. You have a shochet who's a chutzpahdik, he's the only guy in town. Sorry, if you've got chutzpah, we cannot rely on you, because you are part now of the societal issue. Incredible. So what goes right to Ravina? Ravina says, Hecha delom nimseis sakino yafa memas mislei. So we'll say, listen to this. This is incredible. Memas mislei beparta. Dafila ove kochavim namilo mizdabin. Okay, so we'll say, Ravina says, no. If you check this guy's knife, and it turned out that what? The knife was not good. Then I both say, not only do we go ahead and announce that his meat is treif, but will actually smear his meat with excrement, right? What does that accomplish? That way, no one's buying that, right? In other words, because look, if you go ahead and you announce about the guy that his meat is not kosher, okay, you can still sell to non-Jews. Smear it with excrement, and now no one is touching it. Take away his parnasa. So we're supposed to listen to this story. Listen, it's actually a very moving story. There was a particular butcher who did not show his knife to Rava Bar Chinina. Shamte va'avrei. So what happens? So as is the halacha, Rava Bar Chinina excommunicated him and removed him from his position. V'achriz abistrei the treifahi. And he announced that his meat is not kosher. Which I will say again, from the fact that he excommunicated him, removed him from his position, and announced that his meat was not kosher, what does that indicate to us? That he must have checked the knife, right, and what? And what? And the knife wasn't good. Okay, so this guy is a real problem. So again, so that's why Rava announced about him. Okay, Ikla Marzutra of Ravashi Lagabe. So Marzutra and Ravashi came to visit Rava. So what happened? Amar Lahu Le'ainu Rabo Bemilse de Talu Beitafle. So we'll say, this is such a moving story. So Rava, who excommunicated the Shochet, right, excommunicated and announced that his meat was not kosher, said to these two visiting Rabbanim, listen, guys, can you do me a favor and look into this individual situation and see, is there some way to reinstate him? Why? Because at the end of the day, he has young children, and now he doesn't have a parnasa. So because he doesn't have a parnasa, his family is suffering. So, Basi, hear this? Do you hear this story? So, Rava had to do what he had to do, because Rava was the Rava of the city, and he had to excommunicate this guy, remove him from his position, because at the end of the day, that's what the halacha demands. But Rava also understood that now this individual is encountering financial hardship, and that financial hardship is not just impacting him, it's impacting his family as well. So, Rava himself can't do anything, because Rava says sometimes a leader has to take decisive action, and that decisive action is difficult. But the leader sometimes has to hold the line, and sometimes the leader doesn't have the benefit of the Midas HaRachamim, ultimately of compassion. But yet Rava says to these other Rabbanim, maybe you guys could find the workaround a little bit and find a way to help this guy out. But Ravashi the Sakine, Ravashi checked the Shochet's knife, V'nim Seis Yofa, and it turned out that the knife ultimately again was kasher, V'achshere, and therefore Ravashi reinstated him. Incredible. Amalei Marzutra of Lolei Choshmar the Saba. So Marzutra said to Ravashi, but a second, how can you do that? Rava disqualified this guy. So the Gemara said, Amalei Shlichusei Kavdina. What are you talking about? Rava asked us to find the workaround. So I found the workaround. Maybe the guy did tshuva. Whatever the circumstance is, Lamaisa, and right now the knife is good. And ultimately he reinstated him. Which I will say, I just want to point out how incredibly beautiful and overwhelming that is. That there are times in life that we have to do difficult things. And there are times in life that sometimes we even have to do things or take a stand that is hurtful to other people. It is so important to try to always do so with compassion, with love. Right? Even when we have to take a stand against someone, against something, never do it with anger. Never do it with animosity, but always do it with love. And whether it's disciplining our own children, whether it's sometimes saying something to someone else that has to be said and it's going to be hurtful, always discipline with love. Always take even difficult steps with love. Overwhelming. Amar Rabba Rav Huna, Shein Tlusha, V'tzipar Tlusha, Mudlash Chotba. We'll say if you have a detached nail, right, or a detached tooth, ultimately you could use it for Shechita. So L'chat Chila, But we said before that you can't use a hand sickle, right? You can't use a saw. You can't use teeth. You can't use a nail. Why? Because they don't cut, but rather, again, they will tear. To which the Gemara says, Sheina Sheino Kasha. It's not a contradiction. Tooth is not a problem. Why? Ha bechada, ha betarti. One tooth, Rabbi said, can be used because you could sharpen up one tooth enough that it could act as a knife. Two teeth, we're assuming that they're embedded in a jaw. So Rabbi said, what's the problem? What does two teeth look like? What does that look like? A saw. Remember again, that goes back to our serration issues. Anytime you have a serration, you can't use it. Tzibar, not tzibar, lo kasha. Suni, again, a nail. Now you're supposed to say, it's not talking about like a nail like that you hammer in. It's talking about like a nail. Like a nail of an animal, like on a claw. So the Gemara says, that's not kalo kasha, habitlusha, habamukhubaras. What it's talking about when the nail is detached. So in Achinami, if the nail is detached and properly sharpened, it can be used for shechita. Versus if halacha lemaisa, the nail is attached to the animal, then it's mechubar and it can't be used. Okay, incredible. Mishnah, hashochi b'magal katzer b'derech halichasa. So this is a very interesting case. Let's say, so we saw before that you can't use a sickle, right, to shecht. Now, why not? Because again, remember, because it's serrated. Now, the serrations of a sickle, rabosai, the actual serrations are bent. They're actually curved inward, right? Or curved, yeah, curved inward. So again, halacha lemaisa, what if you shechted in the direction along the curvatures? Which means that technically speaking, when you run that against the neck of the animal, it's going to act essentially as a straight blade, right? If you go against, right? Because remember, again, if you go against the serrations, that's when it tears. But if you go along with the indentation of the serration, it actually goes across as a straight knife. So would that work? So Beis Shammai pulls them, Beis Hillel machshir. Beis Shammai says it's possible, Beis Hillel says it's kasher. V'mechliku shineh, but if you straightened out, right? Let's say you shaved down the serrations, then harihi kisakin, then it operates as a regular knife, and would be kasher for shchitan. Incredible. Amra b'chiyah bar Abba, Amra b'yochanan. Af kishechshiru Beis Hillel, lo'echshir el latara midin evelo. Very interesting. Even when Beis Hillel says that it's kosher, they meant that it's kosher that the animal is not nevela. But Beis Hillel would still agree that you can't eat that animal. Amar Rabashi, Rashi says, they cannot be diktani Beis Shammai posel, Beis Hillel machshirin. The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai posels, and Beis Hillel said it's kosher. Velo katani Beis Hillel osrin, Beis Shammai osrin Beis Hillel matirin. If Beis Hillel was really permitting it for consumption, they should have used the word matirin, right, which means that it's mutter, and not machshirin. Machshirin sounds like it's only a din in tumo. Well, the ta'amech, according to your logic, listening Beis Shammai mitamin or Beis Hillel matirin. If that's the case, that the machlokes here is only about whether or not the animal is an avela, but even Beis Hillel agrees that you can't eat it, then the better lashon would have been mitamin and mitarin. Ella postlin umachshirin. Rather, Abbas, what you have to say is that no, there's no distinction in the Lashonos. Right? Postin machshirin, osrin matirin is the same thing. Therefore, aloha lemaisa, there is no raya for Rav Chebra Abba says. And therefore, Abbas, again, going back over here, it sounds like Beis Hillel is actually saying that if you used the sickle, but you used it along the side of the indentation of the serration, so that when you're cutting across the animal, it essentially acts as a straight blade, the shechita is going to be good, even for consumption. Beis Shammai is going to stay still, it's not good. And again, Beis Shammai's logic seems to be pretty clear. Beis Shammai says, we don't want you using a sickle for shechita. No matter how you're using the sickle, we don't want you using it. Mishnah. Okay, Abbas, so now we're going to get a little bit into the mechanics of shechita, not too much. So we're not going to delve too much into this now, but if you notice on the chat yesterday, I sent you two different images. So one is actually taken from the art scroll Gemara, and the other is taken from this incredible sefer called Maros Chulin, which Amir Sashem we are going to be spending a lot of time. Anything and everything you ever wanted to see about the interior of an animal. Most stuff that you never want to see about the interior of an animal. But it's all here. So we're going to take a look at all of this Amir Sashem. So you could reference the images that I sent you over here as we go through this Mishnah. Like I said, we're not getting too in-depth into this. I just want to give you a little bit of an overview today. So here we go. Hashochim mitoch ha-tabas. So remember again, actually take a look at the bottom. At the bottom image, which is the art scroll image. So if you notice over here, Abosei, what you have in the picture of the cow, you have what's called the kana and the veshet. The kana is the trachea, the veshet is the esophagus. So if you notice over here on the image, the trachea, the kana, is in front of the veshet. Now what we're going to see is that the kana, the trachea itself, has a number of different rings of cartilage. That is the picture to the right. You can see that over here. So really, when you're doing shechita, what you're doing is you're cutting through cartilage. Now, what's driving this discussion over here is the concept of hagrama. Hagrama, says Rabbi Osei, that you can't shecht anywhere you want on the neck of the animal. There's a range. There's an area you have to... Now, what's interesting about this Mishnah is, the Mishnah doesn't tell us the range. We're going to get to the range in just a little bit. So the idea over here is normally what you would be doing is, you'd be cutting through the cartilage. Now, if you notice, by the way, the cartilage of the trachea does not go all the way around. Essentially, it's like a horseshoe around the trachea. The back of the trachea, which is the part of the trachea that butts up against the esophagus, there's no cartilage there. Instead, what there is there's a thick membrane of tissue that goes against that. So generally, when you're doing shechita, you're cutting through the rings, one of the rings of the cartilage of the trachea, and going straight back into the veshet, into the esophagus. So if you take a look, and by the way, if you look at the first, which is the color image, you see that top one, which is the two holes over there? You see that? So if you notice over there, the top one is the kana, is right, the top one is the trachea, the second one is the veshat, the esophagus. And if you notice, you could see it over here. So this is like a hollowed out, this is like a cut section. So you could see the rings of cartilage on top, and you could see again how like there's like that membrane in between the kana and the veshat. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Mishnah. So it says the Gemara, Hashochim mitoch atabas, v'shir bamaleachot apnei kulo, shchitas uksheiros. So literally again, if you again, I both say, now our Mishnah is actually talking about over here, if you look, there's one part of the trachea that I do want to draw your attention to, which is what's called the tabas, or tabas gedola. If you notice, bottom image, black and white image, the art scroll image, so if you notice over here, so right on the, not the cow head, but the image to the right, you'll see there's like, so there's the rings, and then on top of the rings, there's that larger piece of cartilage. That larger piece of cartilage is called the tabas gedola. Tabas gedola. So now, we're talking about over here, Rabbosai, where you're shechting, ultimately again, in that tabas gedola. You're shechting in that top part, in that top part of cartilage. So hashochet mitoch tabas v'shir ba maleachot. So you shecht in that top part of the cartilage, and you leave behind, you leave a little bit intact, right? Maleachot apnei kula, shchitas uksheira. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda omer, melochot apnei ruba. If you leave enough intact, according along the majority of the circumference, it's going to be kasher. Now, what exactly that means, and how much you're leaving intact, we're going to see in the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Ben Tarvayu, halacha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, v'af Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda lo amra ela b'tabas hagdola. Even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is only talking about the tabas hagdola, which is that large, right, that large part, that large ring of cartilage on top. Hoil umakefes es kol hakana. Now again, I also want to point out, the tabas gedola, that large ring of cartilage, is different than the smaller rings. Why? Because the smaller rings, as I mentioned, only go like a semicircle around the trachea. The back is open. The top part of cartilage, right, the tabas gedola, goes all the way around. Aval b'shar tabaos lo. O b'shar tabaos lo, is that true with the other rings? Not v'atanya. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Bosei Amud Beis, hashochet b'shar tabaos, if you shecht. And again, Bosei, so just you understand, what we're trying to accomplish in this Mishnah, which is why I'm going through it a little bit quickly, because we actually don't yet have the requisite information to fully comprehend what the Mishnah is teaching us. We are trying to figure out in this Mishnah, where on the neck should you be shechting the animal? That's what we're trying to figure out. So again, what we're trying to establish a range. So hold on, we're gonna get to that piece of information, then we're gonna go back and shed light on the rest of the Mishnah. Hashoch b'shar tabaos, if you shecht anywhere along the rest of the rings of cartilage of the trachea of the kana, afa pishe makifos es kol hakana, hoel umakifos es rov hakana, shchitasok sheira umogremes psula. So again, I will say saloch lemaisa. The Gemara seems to be saying, as long as you shecht along some of the rings of the trachea, even if it's not by the tabas gedola. Tabas gedola is the one ring of cartilage that goes all around the trachea. As long as you're cutting somewhere along the trachea where there is a ring of cartilage that surrounds the majority of the trachea, your shechita is going to be kasher. Umugremes, now hagrama means shechting outside of the permitted range of the neck. Now remember, we have not been told what the permitted range is, which is why this conversation is a little bit strange. But if you shecht outside of the permitted range, the shechita is going to be possible. Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said, "Amogremes shik shera." That even if you shecht outside of the permitted range, it is going to be permitted. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Tarti Kamar, Rabbi Shmuel, Savi Kavase Bechada, Upligala Bechada. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda said two things. Rav and Shmuel agree with him in one area, and they argue with him in a different area. I v'ha lo amar kamri. But one second, but they said that he didn't make that statement. Hachi kamri, this is what they meant to say. Halacha kimosa b'tabas gedola. The halacha follows Rabbi Yosi by tabas gedola, that you could check the animal by that upper ring of cartilage. Ve'in halacha kimosa b'shar tabaos. But the halacha does not follow him by the other rings. He saw like Rabbi Zera, listen to this, when Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, Bosai, it's a fascinating story over here. Achal mugremes to Rav Shmuel. So again, Bosai, what we're getting into now, and like I said, If you feel, but one second, I'm not totally clear on what's happening here. It's not you, and it's not even me. It's the Gemara, right? Because remember, again, the Gemara has not given us the full picture over here. But here's what we do know, that there is machlokas about where exactly on the neck you are supposed to shecht. So watch this. So when Rabbi Zira went to Eretz Yisrael, he ate from Mugremes and Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel have a particular range of the neck. In Eretz Yisrael, they disagreed with Rav and Shmuel. And when Rabbi Zira went to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't pass like Rav and Shmuel. He passed like the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. Amrilei, Lav me'asad Rav and Shmuel at? They said, one second, Rabbi Zira, you're from the city of Rav and Shmuel. How are you eating what would be invalid shechita according to them? Amaluhu man amro Yosef ben Chiyo, Bar Chiyo. Who espoused these ideas of Rav and Shmuel? It was Yosef Bar Chiyo. Yosef Bar Chiyo may call it Alma Gomer, right? Gomer. So ultimately, again, Yosef Bar Chiyo, you know what? He gets rulings from everyone, right? He hears rulings from everyone, right? At the end of the day, he hears rulings from everyone, and halakha l'maaseh again, he cannot be relied upon to tell us who said what, which is a pretty big shtah. Shem Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef heard this ikbid, and he was offended, which makes sense. He was offended by this. Amar ana mikuli alma gamirna. You think I learned my halachas from anyone? Ana me Rav Yehuda gamirna. I learned my halachas from Rav Yehuda. Dafilu seki de gavri garis. Rav Yehuda was so meticulous with attribution that even when he wasn't sure who said what, ultimately, again, he would go ahead and indicate that. Where do we see that? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Safik Mishmei Rav, Safik Mishmei de Shmuel. Because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, and he wasn't sure, is it said over in the name of Rav? Is it said over in the name of Shmuel? Shlosha Matirin Es HaBachar B'makom Shein Mumcha. Shabbos, a totally unrelated topic. You are just trying to explain how meticulous Rav Yehuda was in his attributions. That literally, again, it was when you have a Bachar animal, and the Bachar has a Mum, normally, again, you need a Mumcha. You need an expert in order to be Matir the Bachar, right? In order to show that the Bachar is permitted for regular Quranic consumption. If you don't have an expert, you could rely on a Beis Din of three regular people. This has nothing to do with our topic. The only reason it's being brought down is to show Rabbi Yosef said, I get all of my rulings from Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is completely meticulous about attribution. I've Rabbi Zira. So then let's go back. So right, Rabbi Zira comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. When he gets to Bavel, he's essentially when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, this is incredible. Listen to how fascinating this is. When he gets to Eretz Yisrael, he's eating hashgachas, right? He's eating kashrus that he would not normally eat in Bavel. See, it's not a new thing that kashrus in Eretz Yisrael is confusing, right? It's not a new thing. So, right, see, he gets to Eretz Yisrael, and suddenly he's eating of kashrus that he would not eat of in Bavel. So they said to him, Rabbi Zira, in Bavel, you wouldn't eat of this shechita. Now, right, you would hold of Rav and Shmuel. Now you're eating over here, this type of shechita that is not a problem. What's going on over here? Rabbi Zeira, lesle, noslin alof chumri hamakom shiyatza misham, v'chumri hamakom shalach l'sham. Again, Abba said, this is an interesting halacha. Let's spend a moment on this. In general, when you travel from one locale to another, let's say you travel from right city A to city B, right country A to country B, or you travel from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now, bepashtos, Bavel and Eretz Yisrael are going to have different practices. So what do you do when you come to a place? You have your own practices, but you come to a place that has its own practices. Which practices do you follow? Your own, we'll call it like your own indigenous practices, or the practices where Rabbi said, by the way, this is very shy now with Yom Tov coming up, because this is always a big discussion when you have, again, Jews of Chutz La'aretz who go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. So do you observe one day like they do in Eretz Yisrael, or do you observe 2 days like you do back when you are at home? So they said, to Rabbi Zira, I understand there's a concept that whenever you travel to a new place, essentially, again, you take on the chumras of your place of origin and the chumras of the place where you are. So how can you eat this shechita? Amar Abaye, one second. Hani mili mi bavel la bavel. Ume Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. That's true, again, when you're traveling from one location in Bavel to another location in Bavel, from one location in Eretz Yisrael to another location in Eretz Yisrael. Inami me Eretz Yisrael la bavel. Or if you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. But if you're going ultimately again from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Kevan da'anan kaifina lehu avdinan kavasayu. Since in Eretz Yisrael, they were superior, right? In other words, we are dependent on them, or literally we're subservient to them. So apparently, again, I will say, Eretz Yisrael, the greater Tamid Chum in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbanim of Bavel were subservient to, or subservient is the wrong word, deferential, right? Deferential, yielding to the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, again, the halachic practices of Eretz Yisrael trumped the practices of Bavel. So therefore, again, Rabbi Zera says, yes, normally that is the halacha. When traveling from one location to another, you keep the practices, you keep the chumras of your point of origin and where you are, with one exception. When you are going from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, you observe the practices of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael was considered to be the dominant rabbinic seat, right? It was the dominant area of halacha. Therefore, the Jews of the diaspora ultimately, again, yield to the practices of Eretz Yisrael. Again, we'll say, we'll have to stop. Rav Ashi says, I feel the tema of Bavel Eretz Yisrael. Even if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, halim yudhihecha de daita lachzor. So we'll say, first of all, even if you were going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you would still keep the chumras of Bavel. When your intention was to go back to Bavel. But Rabbi Zera, ein daita lachzor hava. Rabbi Zera's intention was never to go back. Right, Rabbi Zera made aliyah. So because he made aliyah, he was a ben Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, again, he kept the practices ultimately of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we'll say, so first of all, that's a fascinating discussion contemporarily as well. But at least during the, so again, one of two possibilities. Either because in Bavel, they yielded to the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Rabbi Zera felt that he could adopt the practices of Eretz Yisrael. Or Rabbi Zera made aliyah, and because he made aliyah, ultimately, again, he became a ben Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, adopt those practices. So we'll say, more about this discussion on halacha lemaaseh from tomorrow. Shkoyach. Everyone's doing a great day.